Yeah, thank you so much for people that brought the harvest donations. I love Food Bank because it is a very practical response to people in need. So the fact is that very shortly, once this has all gone back to the warehouse and has been sorted out and has gone out to the distribution sessions, I know that the tins of tuna, the biscuits are going to end up in a shopping bag taken home by someone that is in need and has had this opportunity to be helped by you, their neighbour. So that's what excites me about Food Bank. So as Andy says, I'm Emma, I'm the operations coordinator, which I think sounds quite grand. We have a big operation. There's about 110 volunteers that work throughout the different areas of the of what we do, from in the warehouse to in our distribution sessions, to the trustees, to our communications team. And my role is to go out and about checking, just seeing how they're all doing, looking after my teams. We've got the warehouses in near Cheshire Oaks. We've got distribution sessions at the Wesley Centre in Chester, out in Blaken, Matthew Henry and Laich. And we've got some distribution sessions over in Ellesmere Port at the Salvation Army and at Trinity Church. So I'm kept quite busy. As well as that, we work with a range of agencies. The agencies help assess people in need. They write vouchers for us and give them to people that either come to them or are referred to them. So I go out and see all these people and just explain about the work of Food Bank, excuse me, and just kind of see that it all runs smoothly. Now, I do have a bit of a prop here, and I need some volunteers. I need two volunteers. They need to be quite strong and possibly kind of tallish. Yeah, do you want to come, Matthew? Right. Now, Dave sorted out this rope. I failed a little bit because I think it might have tangled. Right. You try that end. Oh, Dave, it's all gone wrong. I need someone else to hold the other end of the rope. Oh, are you going to do it? Okay, Albie, you hold the other end. Now, let's see. Is this going to tangle? Hang on, hold there. You hold there. I'm not a rope expert. It's not actually meant to be a tug of war either. Right, you hold there. Okay. We'll go here. Now we're going to trip over. Right, here we go. Yay! Right, don't trip over that bit, Albie. Stand there. Right, you need to hold it high, okay? And hold it kind of taut. So stretch it out. If you go that way a little bit. Okay, have we got it? Now you've got to stand still and not trip over here. I didn't do a risk assessment for this bit. So, this is, anyone know what this is? This is the poverty line. Well done. So, Andy's going to come and explain what the poverty line is. Does anyone know what the poverty line actually is? Do you? Joe does. Now, I have to admit, I didn't actually know until about 2 hours ago, because it's a phrase that I use quite a lot in talking about the work that I do, because obviously Food Bank exists to help people under the poverty line. Dave, can you come and hold this? Because if I let it go, someone's going to trip over it. This is a family effort. Okay, so the poverty line. Each year, the government publishes a survey of people's income in the UK. And this survey, what they do is they get everyone's income, and this is quite complicated, so hopefully this is correct and to the best of my knowledge. What they do is they get everyone's incomes, and then they find the median of those incomes. Now, is anyone doing like GCSE maths? Does anyone know how you find the median? Oh, that's a good one. Okay, David's got lack of payment of benefits, causing people to find themselves below the poverty line. And that's another one. So in terms of benefits, that's probably about 50% of the reasons why people are coming to us at West Cheshire Food Bank. It's because of lack of payment or administrative delays, changes to their benefits, all these things that cause people to fall below this line. Unexpected bills or expenditure. So quite a lot of us probably just are at a level with our income and outgoing. Like Ugo was saying, we kind of just manage to maintain that income, matching our outcome, but then all of a sudden you get a big bill or something happens, your car breaks down, you need a new fridge, and then you dip below your kind of own poverty line because you haven't got the funds to be able to make up that shortfall. What have we got here? Okay, so this is really key. This is a brilliant one. I knew you'd be better than me at this. Working, so people are working, but however, they earn just enough not to be entitled to benefits, and their earnings are less than the benefits they would receive. That's a really, really key thing. And we find that a lot of people come into the food bank as well, that they are working, and in perhaps that position, they just can't make it work for the benefit system. Right, what have we got down here? Unemployed, that's really significant. People are struggling to find jobs. Maybe there aren't the jobs, or they don't have the skills for jobs. They can't get a job. Another reason, people don't have transport. So even if they might be able to get a job, they can't actually get there. They've got bad bus links or things like that. Debt. That's a really interesting one, yeah. People find themselves in debt for a range of reasons, and often it's quite a struggle to be able to lift yourself up over that. What have you got, Jo? You put they're starving. Yeah, so on debt, you do find themselves hungry and starving. Thank you, Jo. Yeah, so people are making choices. This one says people are having to choose between clothes or food because they don't have enough money. And that is really key. And people are having to choose between fuel and food as well. There's a lot of choices people are making in order just to kind of get through things. Well done. These are great. Anything else I've missed? Losing a job. Suddenly losing your job. Maybe you get ill. Maybe you get made redundant. All these things happen quite quickly and you find yourself falling below here too. Breakup of a relationship. Incomes reduced. Yeah, again, circumstances you don't think you're going to find yourself in, they just happen. And caring for extended people. Caring for extended family with health needs, costs, and unable to work. Gosh, I thought there might be a lot of these. There's a lot of reasons why people come to us at Food Bank. And thank you for helping me illustrate that so well. So we're going to lose the poverty line. Thank you. Thanks, Matthew. We try and help the people that find themselves below that poverty line. And as I say, it may be people that just dip below that poverty line just for a short while, or it may be people that find themselves enduring long periods of crisis and struggling to find food to feed themselves and their family. Now, the whole network in the UK gave out over a million three-day emergency food supplies to people in crisis. In West Cheshire Food Bank, in the last year, we gave out 5,552 three-day emergency food supplies to local people. Now, the reason we're doing this, obviously we're meeting the need. We are inspired to do what we do by the words of Jesus. Jesus said, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink." And again, it's a very practical, here's the food, we're going to give it to people that are in need of it. So like yourselves, we've got loads of people that donate food to us. We've got individuals, we've got schools, we've got organisations. As I mentioned before, all this food will go back to our warehouse and get sorted, and then we'll go out to all our distribution sessions. I mentioned the voucher system. In order to access the voucher system, we have frontline professionals. We've got people at CAB, we've got debt advisors, we've got children's centres, family workers in schools, people that can identify people that are in need and give them a food bank voucher if they need it. So if you get a voucher, then you're entitled to 3 days' worth of this non-perishable food. So at the sessions, if someone comes along with a voucher, I'm looking at Gail, because Gail gets to see the work of Blake in session. It's a very friendly place. We work alongside the cafe. So people with a voucher will get to sit and have a cup of tea, coffee, with one of our volunteers, and whilst they get their food prepared for them, they can have a chat. And at this point, firstly, it's someone available to them and wants to be there for them. And secondly, they might be able to offer extra support or signposting to things that people might need. What we want to do, we want to give people food, but we also want to help them to resolve the underlying cause of their crisis. And so what we do does work quite well for quite a lot of people. As I say, if they find themselves in short-term crisis, They can access the food bank maybe one or two times, and then that's great. And they get the support to resolve either their debt problems, they can work through kind of ways to resolve their bigger debt issues, and then they can move on and upwards. But we recognise at West Cheshire Food Bank that some people find themselves in enduring periods of crisis. So we're looking at developing what we do, so we will continue to do this food, giving out food parcels, but what we want to do also is look at other ways of developing our work to meet the needs of either those people that aren't accessing food bank in the first place, or those that maybe are accessing it recurrently and not actually getting to the bottom of some of the reasons why they're coming to us. So on Friday we had our volunteer celebration event, and at that we started to talk about our new vision for working with partners and churches to put together what we're calling places of welcome. Okay, so places of welcome is a bit of a big term, and we're not sure what that might look like, but there will be different kind of expressions of communities in the different areas. So, for instance, we're looking at helping people with needs or difficulties that are going on for longer periods of time, and creating places of transition where people in crisis can get the support to kind of help themselves through that. So these places of welcome might look like a cook and eat project. They might look like a mental health drop-in project. Some of these things are just all ideas, but based on some of the needs that we see when people come into us to access the food bank sessions. Ed actually was involved in Blaken. They did a little project over the summer holidays where they did a summer holiday meal club for the families in Blaken. And what they did was they gathered Ed's team from Holy Trinity Blaken with the Children's Centre. Tesco came and delivered loads of food and did activities with the children. They had the library there, they had the local councillor there, and between them they generated a place of welcome where people ate and kind of had community as families, but also they had support. And the Children's Centre said they had access to families that would never have gone into the Children's Centre. So what we're trying to do is gather these agencies together to produce an environment where people can really access support and sustain support. So, in a nutshell, that's what we're doing. And there's loads of ways that you can get involved. So you can continue to give food. Donations like this are really crucial to help us sustain our voucher model. We need money. We need finances to help sustain our warehouse, the van and operational costs. If any of you would love to volunteer with us, that would be great. If you have a couple of hours a week, come and spend some time at our distribution session or in our warehouse. Or if you have skills, we need a range of skills to help our food bank function, from maintenance in the warehouse to maintaining our website. Tim helped us. I don't think he's here today. Tim did some illustrations for us recently to help us promote our messages. Or if some of the thoughts around these places of welcome interest you, we're looking for partners who can join in our conversations as we start to think creatively about our responses to food poverty in our communities. And one of the things that struck me, Andy mentioned it last week, when you were talking about how we're kind of called to rise and shine, or arise and shine, just to be lights in our community. And I was looking at Isaiah, in Isaiah 58, where it says that if you spend yourself on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your light will become like the noonday sun. And that's what really excites me about my role, because as I go around looking at all my volunteers and all their teams, basically what they're doing is making themselves available to people in need. And I encounter a lot of people who are seeing the poverty and the injustice, and are seeing all those people experiencing all those issues that we looked at underneath that poverty line. And these people are just deciding to do something about it. And I think when they decide to do something about it, and when we decide to do something about it, then we're actually shining a light in that darkness. So it's been great to have a few minutes to share that with you. As I say, we're really grateful for HBC's continued support for us, and we look forward to having further conversations about how we can work in partnership with you all. So thanks, Andy.
Thank you, Emma. So we're going to move into a break at this time, but Megan is going to do.
Now, the second thing that we can learn from Cake about praise is that praising God is something that can be passed down from generation to generation, and it can be done together. So verse 5 of our psalm tells us that, "For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." So who here has in their family that recipe or that cake that everybody loves it, and it's been passed down for generations and generations, and it's just really, really good? Has anyone got a recipe like that? Yeah, one of those? Well, in our family, all those recipes are kept in this little red book. And so this book is quite old, and it's quite small, and now it's covered in cake batter. But inside it, it is so, so special. And, do you know, in this book, there are not only cakes from our biological family, but there are people from this church who have recipes in here. So Andrea Wood's recipe is in here. We've got Joe Inchley's lemon cake. We've got Viv's chocolate cake. And so just like that, just like when we bake and when we cook and share recipes and share together, we can do that when we praise God as well. So we can praise God together. We can encourage each other to praise God and be thankful. And yeah, we can just do it all as one big family. Now, before we move on to our last point, it looks like the bakers at the back are finished. So do you want to come up and show us your cakes? Yeah. If you spin round and show everybody. Okay. Oh, wonderful. So I've been told that we might need an explanation. So if you would like some time to explain your cake.
Well, ours is a sea. A sea, and then these are the fish, and then we got a funny submarine, and then we got some seaweed.
Lovely, wow, very creative.
Well, ours is a smiley face. That's the mouth with all the teeth. There's the beard, there's the ears, there's the eyes, and there's the nose.
Wow, they are fantastic. Well done. That's amazing. So that, they're fantastic. They're very, very creative. And so did you have the same ingredients? Did you have the same ingredients up at the back? Yeah. And did you choose the same ones or the same ones? Yeah, thereabouts, but you used them in different ways, didn't you? And when you were making your cakes, did you keep looking over and checking what the other one was doing? No, you did. Okay, I would have done as well. I would have done as well. Well done. You can sit back down and take the cakes too. Thank you. Okay, so the last thing that cake teaches us about God and about praising God is that everyone's way of praising God and showing him thankfulness is different. So these cakes, you saw them at the beginning, they were exactly the same to start off with, and the teams had exactly the same ingredients to use up at the back and to choose from, but they still ended up looking very different. We had a smiley face and we had a submarine in the sea. And that's like when we praise and worship God as well. So we should all try and live in a way that pleases God and shows God that we're really grateful to him and that we love him. But sometimes the way that we show that will be different for each person. So my dad might praise God by playing football, but if I did that, I'd probably end up in A&E. So I'm not going to praise God by doing that. But I might praise God by using music or by writing, and people might praise God by being a really good friend or a good parent or by setting the chairs up before the service or by baking cakes. There's loads of different ways, and it's fine that they're all different. I remember I used to look around in church and look at other people while we were singing and think, oh, I'm not very godly. I don't put my hand up when I sing. I'm not very godly. I think God would prefer it if I put my hand up when I sang. But actually, God doesn't care whether your hand's waving about in the air or whether it's by your side, because it's his heart it's your heart that he looks at when you're worshipping him and when you're praising him and thanking him. So we're just going to finish by looking at verses 4 and 5 again in our psalm, which say, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." So God's love and faithfulness are like one of those family cake recipes that get handed down from generation to generation. They go on forever and ever. They bring us comfort and they bring us together. They've been tried and tested, and so they are completely soggy bottom proof, and they can be relied upon as well. And so this harvest, when we're thinking about being thankful, let's remember this and celebrate it and praise God for all that He provides for us.